Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young cat.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action for Mark Bulger. Firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger to Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, hour number three, Dusty and Cam on this Tuesday morning, the 15th day of May. Oh, Oregon primary voting day. Did you guys have your primaries up there today for voting? No?
I don't know. Oh. I do the absentee ballot. So I got to check my mailbox?
All voting is done by mail in Oregon.
Oh.
Yeah, they just send it right to you.
We have, okay. Different rules.
Yeah, so get your ballots in today if you want to vote in the primaries. My wife yelled at me last night.
She did.
Get a vote!
I hate people that complain about voting yet never vote. Right. You know any people like that?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, it was elected officials. Did you vote this year? No. Out of protest. Or you're an idiot.
That's true. Okay. We saw a list of the top. Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports did the top 25 coaches in Power 5 conferences. And the list is, you know, your who's of college coaching. Bet you can't guess who number one is.
Yeah, who's that guy? Mm. Wonder who he is.
Nick Saban, weird. Oh. Weird. Followed by Urban Meyer, number two. That's kind of a no-brainer for those two, right?
Yeah, those are one and two.
Three, clearly. He's got Dabo Swinney.
Yeah.
Clemson.
National championship.
Makes sense. Number four is a little surprising to me, though. He's got Jimbo Fisher. Texas A&M.
Well, he's got a national title.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
He's got a Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay.
He's the highest paid coach.
Oh, yeah, I know, but.
all these facets that are going into it.
I think all things considered, though, there are coaches that are better, like where the first Pac-12 coach comes in at number five, which is Chris Peterson.
Doesn't have a title yet. Jimbo does.
Right, but
doesn't have a Heisman Chris Trophy Peterson, winner.
Chris Peterson also was at Boise State for a majority of his career and took over a dumpster fire at Washington.
No, look, I think he's certainly a top five coach in college football play right now. I mean, that's fair. I mean, those four in front of him at this point just have all done something. They have a ring.
Right.
And that's the only thing that's keeping them. In fact, all those guys have Heisman Trophy winners in front of him too, which helps. I think it does help. So, yeah. Coach Peterson is the best in the Pac-12 currently.
Yeah. Have you seen, though, I mean, like, last year, Florida State went, what, 6-6 before their bowl game? I mean, okay.
Mm-hmm. Hurts to lose your starting quarterback with an ACL in the first game of the season, though.
Right. But you're also not playing in the SEC. You know, their schedule
you'd imagine there'd
manageable.
Be enough depth there to do a little better.
Yeah, not go 500. You know, you're at Florida State, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know you lost your quarterback, but you don't got a backup at Florida State of all? Wouldn't the top number four coach in the country have at least a backup quarterback there?
You'd hope so.
Serviceable enough to go.
It's not like the ACC was a walk-through division last year either.
No.
You had Miami. You certainly had Clemson. You're not just going to just walk through that division.
Yeah, you also lost 35-3 to Boston College.
Yeah, because your quarterback's not very good.
Well, right. Yeah. But I just
and that's why they don't have a head coach now, and that's why Willie Taggart is out of this top 25.
No, Jimbo Fisher was not fired.
No, he left. That's why he left.
Yeah, because he just didn't have the dudes there.
Yeah.
But Chris Peterson at five, I do agree with, and that kind of starts the swoon of Pac-12 coaches. Did you have when you look at that top five? It sounds like you're just like, all right, no national championship for Peterson.
That's the only difference between the two. But as that, you're Chris Peterson of that group, hardest job of all that group. He's in the Pacific Northwest. His recruiting bed is 3,000 miles compared to these guys. These other guys can find 20 players in one high school. Chris Peterson can find 20 players in five states.
Yeah.
It's way different. So he has the hardest job.
Everybody out west, but that's when you kind of look at the...
Not everybody out west. Certainly not. Who? There's two teams in LA that don't have to do that.
Right. Well, I mean, it's still a lot harder. You have to go a lot further, though, to find your entire team anywhere out west, including California, whereas Nick Saban, if you draw a 500-mile circle around Tuscaloosa, Alabama, you're finding way more talent than a 500-mile circle around Los Angeles, California.
Sure. Yeah, but to be at the highest level, I mean, like what UCLA and USC do, they have an advantage over everybody
no
on the west side, on the Pac-12.
Which makes these Pac-12 rankings a little bit surprising, and if you're a fan of one of those teams, a little bit concerning, as in this top 25, it's rounded out at the bottom with 25th being Kyle Whittingham at Utah. By Tom Fornelli.
Okay.
And then Mike Leach, 24th.
Yeah, top 25. The Pac-12 goes 24 and 25.
Well, I mean, if you look at that, though, the ability for those guys to just win games in Pullman and at Utah, where you were a Mountain West team, you know, a handful of years ago, now you've built a team that is continually in the top 25 at Utah.
Well, and let's be honest, too, because Mike Leach has done everything to make Washington State relevant. They haven't got over the hump and won a big game or big bowl game. But come on, Washington State is relevant nationally because of Mike Leach.
And then there's two other coaches that are in the top 10 in all of the land, which is surprising when you figure how many teams were ranked in the top 10 at the end of the year for the Pac-12. And looking at this, number 9 is Chip Kelly.
I don't know if I agree with that one.
Why?
Because he's been out of college since 2012 and all these other guys have been coaching. So he's getting on past experience. So that to me is like that throws some of these other coaches that have been doing it that are behind him. I think that they deserve to be. But it's a personal opinion. I thought that was the highest ranked one where I went, well, really? You've been out of college football since 2012 and deserved a top 10. Certainly he's an elite coach, but hadn't done it in a while.
Yeah, but he went 46-7 while he was at Oregon, and
I'm not arguing that. But James Franklin that are behind him, Mike Gundy, Bill Schneider, some of these guys that are behind him, I look at that and go, these guys are doing it now and have been doing it for the past few years. So that's why I would give them a little bit of a bump.
But one thing that Chip Kelly did that none of those guys did was play for a national title, even though it was a handful of years ago. Yeah. And then it's not like he got fired and went away. He went to the NFL. Mm-hmm.
Well, he left because he got a better offer.
Right. Absolutely. And now he is in at 9. And then number 7 is David Shaw of Stanford coming
deservedly
in.
Deservedly so.
So you look at it, Chris Peterson at 5, David Shaw at 7, Chip Kelly at 9, Leach 24, Whittingham 25. Absent from that list is USC's coach, Clay Helton. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells
about the hire of Clay Helton and kind of where this program is.
That
at.
The next coach in waiting is not Clay Helton.
Well, this is a crossroads season then for USC. Oh. If you look at, you have got no Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. You still have the expectations of you being USC. Clay Helton has got to earn his money.
Clay Helton is fired 2 years ago if Sam Darnold is not on that roster. Darnold doesn't win a couple, Sam Darnold saved his job. He would already been fired during that season. Remember, that season was off the rails.
Yeah.
It was completely gone. Clay Helton is a dead man walking. Nobody's allowed, you can't be an USC coach and not be considered one of the best in the country. And I know this is too subjective, but it's a fair comparison. He just doesn't move the needle.
Yeah. And, well, doesn't move the needle. I think it's also, you've kind of proven that big games. Where are the big games? You know, that Rose Bowl game, Sam Darnold said, hop on, guys.
Yeah, I got this.
You know, and it's kind of been a trend that you see with USC. USC's got to be there. And has got to be at the top.
Is there someone in this list that you would say deserves to be higher?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's even close. You know, Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State is 16th on this list. Ahead of him is Lincoln Riley. Dan Mullen is a great coach, don't get me wrong. But if you look at what Mark D'Antonio has done with his program, and of course, Mike Gundy is at 11. I think Mark D'Antonio, you look at his track record of what he has done.
Yeah, he's been to college football playoff and won.
My gosh.
I think that's Michigan State feeling a little bit of their issues with their school,
the
controversies. I think he's bumped out of that.
I can back that, but that doesn't change how good of a coach he is.
No, it doesn't.
What about Scott Frost? Good at 21?
Yeah.
He won a national championship.
Do we know? Jury's still out because he's...
Won a national championship.
Yeah, he's a national title winning coach, according to UCF.
I mean, you know what? Really, let's go. I mean, the guy hasn't even done it, but he's... Yeah. That's fair. Scott Frost is fair. That's certainly...
I don't have a problem with him in there. I just don't know what he's going to do, so...
I feel
he was good at Central Florida.
I feel pretty comfortable that Nebraska.
But I'd rather have Scott Frost than Dan Mullen, I think.
Just based on what you've seen from Central Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dan Mullen won at Mississippi State.
Yeah, he did.
Can you name another?
Kind of.
Can you name another coach that's won at Mississippi State?
No.
Yeah.
Dan Mullen. But how much is it? I mean, when you say he won at Mississippi State, he had a winning record? Mm. They didn't do much.
Wait, he took over a program that was a just garbage pail of a team. And he got them
found a way to do it.
Relevancy in the SEC. And doing that, look at how many years they've tried to do that at Vanderbilt. Look at how they tried to do it at Kentucky. Look at how they've tried to do it with hiring big-time coaches at South Carolina. And they have more tradition than any of those other schools. It's hard to get up off the mat in the SEC. And Dan Mullen did that at Mississippi State.
Well, and that's why James Franklin, I think, is so high on that list, because he did that at Vandy, and now he's doing it at Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to give you the most disappointing coach on this list. This guy fell 13 spots compared to last year's rankings, all the way to number 18, and it is Mr. Jim Harbaugh of the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
And 13 spot drop from last year. Why is that? Is it because the Harbaugh effect? Is this saying that he's wearing guys out? Is this effect starting to affect him and his just perception throughout the Big Ten? I mean, if you get him, I mean, he's right behind. I mean, Paul Chryst is right behind him at 19. Pat Fitzgerald, does he want at Michigan want to be compared to Wisconsin, Northwestern, and look and see Michigan State ahead of him and other guys like Ohio State, it's Urban Meyer. Jim Harbaugh was considered to be a top five coach in college football. Do we not agree just a few years ago? Should be.
Jim Harbaugh
borderline top five, definitely top 10.
Jim Harbaugh, the shine has come off. The shine has come off.
Oh, how quickly it falls.
If you look at the kids that are leaving the kind of, you know, he's had a few transfers leave that program, still can't find the quarterback, the sleepovers, all those recruiting things that he's done. I love that he takes his team on a vacation for spring ball every year. I think that that's great. But if you're looking at it, this is going to be the year where he has zero excuses. And if for everything that he was doing to make Michigan relevant again, he didn't have a quarterback. And this year, he finally has his quarterback, as the Ole Miss grad transfer is going to be eligible immediately.
Right.
This year, if they don't win this year, we'll see either Harbaugh fall even further after this year, or he'll be back up in the top seven
and
again next year.
And now you're facing a better coach with Scott Frost. How do you beat James Franklin? Mark D'Antoni's still there. And of course, oh, by the way, Urban Meyer is somebody you can't beat either. Yeah. So where's it going to get? I mean, Kirk Ferentz is ranked ahead of him. No, I'm sorry. Kirk Ferentz was down. He's at 23. I apologize. But what are you going to do, Michigan? I mean, that whole conference is a juggernaut.
It's a bank or break year.
Right after him is Paul Chryst at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call the whole conference a juggernaut, but I'll say
top to bottom, the Big Ten is just as difficult. I mean, I'm comparing them to the Pac-12, but it's not like you look at...
In the Pac-12, it is compared.
You look at Michigan and go, Michigan should be one of those names because it's a blue blood brand.
Yeah, but if you look at that division, they are fourth in that division. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State. It's a what, you know, it's not just what have you done for me lately. It's what have you done over the last handful of years too. And they are clearly fourth. It's if they drop to fifth is when Harbaugh loses his job, because means Rutgers is better than you.
Oh, boy. If he doesn't get 10 wins this year, he's going to get fired.
You think so?
Oh, my gosh.
But he went 8-5, and you can feel it tighten.
You can feel it starting to the noose getting a little tighter.
It absolutely is. Who's the guy that you think is overrated on this list?
I already said. I thought it was Chip Kelly.
Oh, you think it's Chip?
Yeah, I don't think he's a top 10 coach yet. If he has a great season yet, I don't think he'd do that.
Yet?
I just told you why. How do you go out of the league for 6 years and then just jump right back into the top 10 based on perception of what they've achieved in the past?
And your track record.
I agree with that. But 6 year gap of losing track of football and college football, he changed the landscape of football. Everybody's caught up now. His innovation is no longer innovative anymore.
That is the number one question mark for him.
So that's not a top 10.
Now that everyone's doing it, will he still be as effective?
Exactly.
But if you also look, though, his offense was wildly effective even in the NFL. The numbers were effective. It's his defense would just get battered and tattered.
That's my only point.
But in the NFL, his offense was completely different than what he ran in college. It was not his college offense that he was running in the NFL.
It remains to be seen. He will definitely be a big influence to this conference. It remains to be seen how he will change. How will it change?
I see your point, 100%. The guy who's overrated to me is Mike Gundy at 11. Because, I mean, you know, all these guys you were talking about, national championships and getting in big games. D'Antonio is at 16, and he was in the college football playoff. Gus Malzahn has won a national title, and he's behind Mike Gundy. Bill Snyder has done more at Kansas State than I feel Mike Gundy has at Oklahoma State. And I sit there and I look at it, I just go, man.
Yeah, but Dusty, his mullet is wonderful.
Yeah. Right. Mike Gundy's a good coach. I mean, we're all splitting hairs when we're talking about this list.
I know, we are.
He's a really good coach.
Your number 24 coach just tweeted out a photo of bok choy carved out of jade. That would be Mike Leach.
Yeah, he is in Thailand, I believe.
Is he Thailand now? He was in Cambodia, right?
Well, I saw that he was
world tour going on,
taking pictures of a Thai at a museum of a Thai carvings. So
yeah, remember he's doing the whole air up there thing. He's recruiting.
Bok choy is what is it?
It's like a Chinese broccoli or an Asian broccoli kind of.
Is it good? Anybody had bok choy?
I've had bok choy in Chinese food before or in Thai food before.
Yeah, I'm sure I have too. I love Thai food.
You have. If you look up bok choy, you'll know it.
Oh, I love it. Love.
Better yet, we will retweet Mike Leach here.
Okay.
Well, coming up next, sports gambling is legal. Will it change your sports and where does it stop? Dustin Kim on the Fan.
He told me no, see, that's what they want you to think. You gotta see that you are a reflection of me. Can't you see
Cole
it
Beasley
now?
Rapping.
Beasley, how cold get to skip, but we can't miss it. Has to even out. You can't treat us different. So that's just how he treated
Never would have thought that's what Cole Beasley sounded like.
Me who I spring to be. Well, all the ones I tried to bring with me to lead just pissed the fact I lead the team at home regretting what they need to be.
Yes, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm not an aficionado. Well,
pretty good.
I'm glad they actually gave
us. Get Cole Beasley and Dame Dalla together.
Mm-hmm. Put
what a collab that would be.
Four Bar Friday.
They can release an album called Stick to Sports.
Yeah. How many times did everybody just stick to sports?
Yeah.
Don't do anything else other than sports.
Hey, dude, you should lock yourself in a weight room. All right.
It's Shaq's fault. Ever since Shaq came out with Shaq Fu or whatever he's whatever,
not
Shaq
blame
Diesel.
Shaq for this.
Shaq. First. Didn't Shaq was the. Shaq was the. Was he not the first?
I thought Deion Sanders beat him to the punch.
No, Shaq was the mainstream. He was the first one.
Oh, mainstream. I just thought that Neon Deion or Primetime was the first.
I don't remember Primetime.
Terry Porter and Jerome Kersey put out a song in 89.
Okay. It was
called Bust a Bucket. Are you familiar?
It wasn't an album.
Shaq
was
the
first
part of
there
the.
There were two tapes, two sides of the tape. Jeez. Rip City Rhapsody.
There's probably going to be some more athletes that popped up, but Shaq is the one I can really think of the mainstream.
The Arizona Wildcats men's basketball national championship team that Steve Kerr was on released a rap. You can hear Kerr drop a bar on that if you find it on YouTube.
Does it sound like Miami's rap?
Seventh Floor Crew.
Seventh Floor. Greg Olson.
My cousin lived in that dorm at that
time.
Didn't
they call him Third Leg Greg?
Yeah, that was his rap name was Third Leg Greg.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
It means his...
That's a big Twinkie.
That is exactly what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I got more info on this David Tepper guy. Do you know why they didn't go with the higher bid for the new Panthers owner?
I just saw that as well.
The new owner? Well, soon to be new owner of the Carolina
Panthers. David Tepper is a hedge fund manager, billionaire guy. Apparently, in one of the offers that was higher than his $2.2 billion asking price or offer was a group that wanted to move the team to South Carolina. They wanted to move them out of Charlotte.
Okay, so where in South Carolina would they have put it? Which city?
I don't know. Myrtle Beach? I don't know.
Doesn't say where they'd want to.
Columbia. No, the report that I'm seeing is they eyed a stadium in South Carolina.
Okay, here's a fair question.
Okay.
Does South Carolina care more about football than North Carolina?
I don't know. You wouldn't need to change the name of the team, though. It's Carolina football.
True.
Carolina Panthers.
Give you that.
Sure.
Because the Gamecocks care more?
Clemson is in South Carolina.
I tend to agree that South Carolina better at football than North Carolina.
Yep. Fair.
I mean, who are your best college football teams? Duke and North Carolina.
Hey, Duke is not bad.
I know Duke's not bad. I know it's not bad, but it's not the Gamecocks. It's not Clemson.
They have one of the best coaches in all of college football. David Cutcliffe.
Yeah, he'll be getting a new job soon.
No, he won't. He ain't leaving.
You feel that?
Yes.
He's on that, Bill Snyder program, just going to ride it out there?
Just going to ride it out at Duke,
Well, Cutcliffe, remember, he left as an offensive coordinator at Tennessee to take over Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And that's why Eli Manning went to Ole Miss. And he realized a lot of things when he left Tennessee for Ole Miss, and he got run out of there so fast because expectations were through the roof. He loves what he has at Duke.
Okay.
Loves it. Loves it. And he just wants to be a
sound like you talked to him.
I got a chance to meet David Cutcliffe. Yeah. Eric Ainge played for him. And when I went out there, got to sit in meetings. And
Inside
Ainge
info.
Says he loves Duke.
Well, that's great for Duke recruiting and Duke football. It'd be awesome if he does that. You never know how the type of personality where these guys want to take another shot.
Cutcliffe is like 60-something.
Yeah, if you get comfortable in your spot, there you go.
So I think this is going to be his last stand here. Yeah, he is 63 years old. So, right. I mean, if you're going to be throwing money at
a guy. What's Nick Saban, 66, 67?
Yeah.
Pete Carroll, 66? An old college coach isn't going to be old.
Yeah, Bill Snyder's 80-something.
Is he? I thought he was 78.
Sure. He's been coaching for 80 years, though.
Yeah, since birth.
Before birth.
It must have been a leap year in there somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably a couple. But yeah, they got a good coach there. But yeah, no, one of those ownership groups was wanting to move the team to South Carolina.
It's not optional, no, because Charlotte is an amazing city. If any of you guys ever been there,
it is a cool city.
It is awesome.
Bill Snyder, 78. Well done.
Oh.
78. Look at you, knowing your olds in coaching.
You can throw out some numbers.
But this guy, who's the Tepper guy, a lot of money. Keep him there. And he's, as Buck mentioned earlier, he's already been vetted by the NFL owners because he's a minority owner in the Steelers. So they went through all of his financials, went through all of his paperwork. So this could be like a rubber stamp kind of deal of approval for the sale of the team.
Easy transition.
Very easy transition. All right, we got the NBA draft lottery coming up tonight. Want to place a bet on that? If maybe next year, you may be able to.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
NBA Draft Lottery is tonight, where we're going to find out if tanking pays off for the Phoenix Suns, Memphis Grizzlies, Dallas Mavericks, Atlanta Hawks, and Orlando Magic. Those are the teams with the five best odds.
Who's got the most frozen envelope opportunities tonight?
Ooh, you know what? I think we could hit new conspiracy theory levels here.
Okay.
Because Adam Silver is not a fan of tanking, and he has said as much. He's like, there's nothing we can really do about it, but I don't like it. If you have a team that actually tried this year, make it into the lottery and get the number one pick, that is going to start a new conspiracy theory of, oh, they only had, like, say you have the Clippers, for instance. They have like a 0.6 chance of getting the number one pick. If they get the number one
pick.
Yeah, people are going to go, oh, no, conspiracy theory. It'll go frozen envelope because the NBA wanted to stop tanking, which I don't necessarily think would be a bad thing, would you?
No, I think it'd be great. If they do and that does happen, I think it'd be great.
And the Clippers actually have two chances to get into the top three picks because the lottery is actually the top three, not just number one, because they get Detroit's lottery pick in the Blake Griffin trade, and they also have their own. So they have a 2.5% chance and a 2.2% chance of getting into the top three, but just 0.6 and 0.7 of getting into the top one. The one thing that Blazer fans who hate the Lakers, which is all of you out there, this is what you should be rooting for.
Okay.
The Lakers in the lottery. If when they're going through and they start at 14 and they go all the way up to number one, if they skip the Lakers at 10, that is the best news that Blazer fans can have that hate the Lakers.
Why?
Well, because if the picks are number two or number three, the Lakers selection goes to Boston. If it is number one.
Just who needs more picks.
Oh, no. Number one, if it goes to number one, it goes to Philly.
No, boy, just who needs more picks.
So Laker fans better, or Blazer fans, you better hope that the Lakers aren't mentioned at number 10, because that means that they don't get that pick. And that's good for Blazer fans who don't like the Lakers.
Yeah, if you want to hate on another team, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And all Blazer fans do. Beat LA.
Of course.
Nobody likes the Lakers.
Nobody does. Some people do.
Do you?
Do I like the current Lakers? No, I don't have any enjoyment for the current Lakers. I like the classic Lakers I grew up watching. I don't like the current Lakers. No, they're not appealing to me at all.
I think people around here just go, we just don't like the Lakers, period.
I don't have the same hate of the Lakers. I don't. But I'd certainly not a fan of. It's not like I'm going to go, it's not my top five team in the country. No.
Do you think it would save LeBron in Cleveland if they, because they get the Nets first round pick this year as part of the Kyrie Irving trade. Boston,
they're going to need that pick because LeBron's leaving.
Well, Boston, let me finish. Boston sent Brooklyn's pick in the Kyrie trade. So if Cleveland gets the number one overall pick, do you think that may save LeBron staying in Cleveland?
No, because LeBron James doesn't want to play with rookies. He doesn't want to play with rookies.
You could get him a big and DeAndre Ayton.
Wouldn't matter. It'd take him 3 years to even get to comparable to kind of style of player. He wants to go play with veterans.
Well, Jason Tatum, I mean, look at what he's doing as a rookie this year. Donovan Mitchell, what he's able to do this year.
Right.
I mean, if you add another piece, and if it's DeAndre Ayton is that
but
guy.
But you forget the two most important things you just mentioned. Quinn Snyder is a pretty good coach. That's the reason why he's so good. And then your favorite coach
in
the world.
Wait, hold on. You think that Quinn Snyder is the reason Donovan Mitchell is that
good?
Yeah,
because he's facilitated his growth so quickly, and Donovan Mitchell is good. Yeah, when Brad Stevens is, this is Brad Stevens' team. He's developed his talent because he knows how to put his guys in successful situation. LeBron James is the head coach.
Yeah.
Tyronn Lue is not a developer of talent. So tell me, if you are drafting a great player, how important is Kyrie Irving right now with the Boston Celtics?
They were better when he was there, but not very much right now. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals with a lead, for goodness sakes.
You can argue that from the get-go that Kyrie Irving is now considered an average point guard. No, he's not average. He's still an elite point guard. He might be the third best player on his team right now.
If Kyrie was healthy.
No, right now, where he is right now, moving
right
forward.
Right now, he's not even in the top 15 because he can't even play.
I understand. So what I'm trying to say is that man could be traded and could be on the docket, because the guys talk about health. Kyrie Irving wanted out. He wanted out of Cleveland because why? He wanted to go be the man. Well, now he's the man, and he's not the man.
Well, if you were to have Kyrie healthy, and I said this yesterday after we watched game one of that Celtics-Cavs series, this series against the Cavaliers, the Celtics might actually be better off without Kyrie Irving, because you don't need his scoring, because the other team can't defend you in the backcourt. With Terry Rozier defensively, all Cleveland tries to do is score. And Kyrie's not known for his defensive prowess. Terry Rozier is. You're better defensively where you need it, because Terry Rozier can get buckets, or your guards can get buckets on the other end, because Cleveland is just so terrible.
You have already sold me that Brad Stevens is the greatest coach in the world.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so with that being said, he has developed those players to make Kyrie Irving obsolete. He can win now. Yeah. He can beat, if he beats LeBron James, if they win this and they go to the NBA Finals, it's Brad Stevens' team. I mean, we all understand that. I mean, if he's able to take this group without Gordon Hayward is now like the fourth best player on the team. You know, so that all these younger players and these guys that are developing, come on. I'm telling you.
I disagree with their obsolete, but I mean, I do think that you do have one of the greatest coaches, and one of the greatest coaches has two more talented players. They're going to be good. I wouldn't call them obsolete, though. I mean, I understand what you're
definitely,
saying.
They're definitely tradable, and you could see Kyrie Irving going right on the trading block the next year. You could see him just moved right on out in 1 year. What do you want to invest in? Do you want to invest in a guy that's going to have a Derrick Rose knee?
Well, and the big part about him is he takes up salary cap room.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can clear out some room to bring somebody else in, LeBron James,
back to back years, you could have elite point guards in your consideration of Isaiah Thomas, a top 10 point guard at the time, gone. You could have Kyrie Irving bring him in and then now have the younger player who's cheaper gone. Oof.
Wait, did you say I considered Isaiah Thomas a top 10 guard?
No, no.
Oh.
He was a top 10 guard.
He was really good last year. When he was traded,
yeah. He was.
Really good in last year. I just love Brad Stevens. You see what he said yesterday, too? Called it silly that people are saying that he's to get credit for this. No, dude, you are. You deserve a ton of credit, Brad Stevens.
I like a little bit of humble, though.
Oh, yeah. You don't want your head coach being like, oh, yeah, me. But... the reason why his guys run through a wall for him is because he has the ability to empower his guys around him and get the most out of them every single trip. Like Isaiah Thomas got dealt to Cleveland, who then got dealt to LA, and he could easily point at Brad Stevens and not go to bat for him or stay silent. He said it's ridiculous that guy did not get coach of the year.
You know, this texter says Kyrie said he didn't want to play with LeBron James. LeBron James is the reason why Kyrie is who he is today. Without LeBron James, you weren't going to be in the finals.
Well, he won a...
Without LeBron James, you weren't going to get that kind of money. And without LeBron James, you couldn't have leveraged yourself enough to get removed out of Cleveland and sent to a better situation. So without LeBron James, Kyrie Irving's still sitting in Cleveland going, I got a bum knee.
They were pretty terrible without LeBron James and Kyrie.
They were nothing. We didn't even talk about Kyrie Irving as a top five guard until LeBron James showed up and let him have that ability.
Yeah, that roster was so bad. Everybody's going, what would Kyrie be if he had somebody good around him?
I know who he'd be. He'd be Damian Lillard.
Sure. So bring LeBron to Portland. That's what you're saying.
LeBron makes everybody better. He makes everybody a lot of money.
All right.
Tristan Thompson.
I'll give you a recruiting pitch to get you motivated for your day at work. Well, I'm not going to give it to you, but this show will give it to you. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, this one may either motivate you or upset you, Cam. I'm going to introduce you to tight ends coach Thomas Sheffield at Arkansas Pine Bluff. Right now is the time where coaches around colleges are hitting the recruiting trail, going to find the next best and brightest coaches, and this is tight end coach Thomas Sheffield, who's the recruiting coordinator and special teams coordinator at University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff.
I want to take a few seconds and shout out to all the specialists out there. All the kickers, the punters, the snappers. If you're looking for a home, brother, I've got one for you at UAPB. Because in order to be the man, you've got to be coached by the man. And for specialists, I am that man. Woo! So understand this. I'm coming to find you. I need you to stop what you're doing. Follow the chef on Twitter. Send me your huddle film. Send me your individual film. Because I'll only have one question to ask you once I find you. Who wants to hunt with the lions? Who? Yeah! Dig it!
To all those kickers out there.
I don't care who you are. You got to love that. I don't care who recruits you.
He flares it.
As he's recording that from his sun visor in his car going about 80 with a beer in his hand.
Yeah, he was driving.
Slamming a Monster Energy, it looks like.
So, of course he was slamming a Monster Energy.
Yeah, he was.
I'm guessing. I haven't seen the video of it.
He is driving down a Texas freeway while all this is happening. And that doesn't seem safe, but he's looking for the kicker and punter, looking to go to Arkansas Pine Bluff, man. Go get it.
If that guy's recruiting me, I'm all in.
Are you?
I think if you're a specialist, you got to be.
Kickers may be running away from him, though.
No, there's no kickers that are liking that.
Yeah.
They're panicking.
He's scared. But, hey, Arkansas Pine Bluff has the most mentally tough kickers around. If that guy's your coach.
Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Yeah.
Arkansas Pine Bluff. Huh?
The game's on the line.
That's what I'm thinking about.
I like that he refers to himself as the chef.
Yeah. cooking up.
Not Coach Sheffield or Coach
Sheffield.
What
do you say? You got to run with the Lions?
Yeah, they're
that's got to be their mascot, because then the tag at the end of the audio is like a little lion growl.
Wow. It's intense.
I don't think that's how they do it. That's like saying, oh, the Huskies.
Woof. Woof. Or the Ducks.
Quack.
Quack. Cougars. Cougars are right there with
meow.
Meow.
Meow. What sound does a beaver make?
The tail hitting the wood? I don't know. I don't know what a beaver makes.
All right.
As that stupid chainsaw.
I'm glad, though, that you were, of all people, you were motivated by the special teams coordinator.
I'm straight up motivated by that guy. If he's
looking
recruiting
to find kickers.
Can I make my own huddle tape? Do I have any eligibility left? Oh, man, come back. I can snap. I could totally snap. I could take a spot.
Deep snapping is an art. You can have a good career in the NFL.
Good career?
Like, you can go 20 like years.
You can have an unbelievable career.
Making league minimum for like 18, 20
those guys
years.
Make more than league minimum. But I mean, you get to that where you throw. I've seen guys, a couple of good friends that are snappers. You could be 20 yards away and set cans up.
Yeah.
And he could just like throw them down. Just ding, 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 knocking them down.
If that's an art that you can master, is that the easiest way to get a scholarship in football? Would be a proficient long snapper?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If you wanted to teach your son how to snap and spent the time how to do it, and he was somewhat athletic, doesn't have to be the greatest athlete.
Every team needs one.
And you'd be surprised. If you do it bad, it's catastrophic to the game.
Do you remember, though, that...
like Secret Service, you're only noticed if you mess up.
Yeah, do you remember this kid from Skyview who went to IMG Academy and was a 5-star line snapper? He was from Skyview.
Oh, I don't know that. How long
He's
ago was that?
Alabama, like Is 2 years really? Ago. Remember, we talked about him because Alabama, USC, and Portland State.
Yeah.
And
throwing dimes.
Yeah. You can, and he was a 5-star long snapper.
Who knew that they were rated in stars?
Especially 5 stars. But yeah, you can do it. And he had like trick shot video of him like knocking down cans off railings and hitting like plates in the sky.
If we just grabbed a random 20 dudes and said, here, throw a football, they could all complete the throw from 15 yards.
Right.
Every single guy would line up. It wouldn't look beautiful.
Uh-huh. Well, not if you're watching that Dr. Pepper contest that they do during the conference championship.
No, but it's 15 yards. They could get it there and it wouldn't be great. If I said snap a ball 15 yards, out of those 20 dudes, 2 would be able to snap the ball back there.
Yeah. That's probably, 10%.
And neither with a spiral.
And no, none, zero, zip, nada.
Deep snapping, man. And not short snapping, but we're talking punts. And
that's another art, too.
Yeah, short.
The thing is about learning how to snap, I'm going to go all technical on you and analytics.
Oh, boy.
If you learn your spin rate on your snap, I got to the point where my rotation, I could hold the ball at a certain angle, and I knew I would always give laces. So I knew my rotation spin rate as it went back from 7 yards of my distance. And even with the punter, I knew that if I spun it at the right angle and held it at this, I could give him the laces in the right spot every single time. And that's what great snappers can do. So you learn where you hold the ball and you learn your spin rate. I just went all technical on
it. Did you really know what the rate, how many revolutions it was, or did you just...
Yeah, we did it and we taped it in slow motion and you took your spin rate down and I would change and we videotaped it and we changed where our hand position was on the ball and where the ball was. Some guys grab laces when they throw, mm-hmm. Others don't. So they understood where they wanted the ball and their spin rate.
Oh, well, what was your rate?
I don't know. I don't remember my spin rate. We just figured it out.
That'd be like an interesting...
It was analytics.
Good. His spin rate was good.
It was good to where I could snap no laces every single time.
That's
he didn't
awesome.
Have to spin the ball.
No, yeah. As a holder?
Oh.
As a holder, it's great to just be able to go ball
yeah,
to ground.
Yeah, he never had to spin the ball.
Ball to ground. Yeah. All right, well, that was kicking with Dusty and Cam in the morning.
No, that was snapping.
Bet you didn't know that. You're going to get that this morning.
Yeah.
Up next is the Third with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3. Durton's Break, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk. Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Boston, Cleveland from Beantown on ESPN 530 tip. We also have the NBA Draft Lottery coming up at 4:30 this evening. We'll be back tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.